everyone, and welcome to another episode of This Is Getting Graphic, a show where two friends celebrate the wildness and wackiness that happens in comic books and graphic novels. I am one of your hosts, Andrew Kilpatrick.
And I am your other host, Phil Oberholzer.
Welcome back to the show. This one is going to be a continuation of our tribute to creator George Perez with his landmark series, JLA Avengers.
And it is fucking awesome!
Yeah, we've been through half of the story so far, and I'm glad that you're enjoying it so far. So, while we're going into this, I just have a question for you. Like, a really quick question.
Yes?
So, we've seen that Marvel and DC fundamentally are, like, very different universes in terms of all their stuff. So, my question to you is, is there one DC character that if you wanted to, you would permanently transport over to Marvel, or vice versa?
Oh, shoot. One DC character I'd put in Marvel, or one Marvel character I'd put in DC.
Yeah, yeah.
There's so freaking many to choose from. It's like, I know. It would take me a while to, like, go through all of them.
Like, it's really tough, yeah.
I honestly don't know. My first thought was, like, as weird as this is gonna sound considering the content of the last one, mm-hmm. I would almost want to put Superman in the Marvel universe. He would absolutely despise that, but he would be able to clean up the things that he hates about it.
Oh. Yeah, no, I guess you got a point there.
He would be able to fix the problems.
Mm-hmm. No, I see what you mean.
Are we talking, like, putting them in these universes to, like, fix problems or just to see their reactions?
Oh, no. Like, somebody who would, like, live there for, forever, pretty much. Like, they wouldn't be able to go back.
Oh, God. I wouldn't do that to any of them because all of them have family and loved ones in their universes. I wouldn't want to separate them forever from them. Except maybe Batman, but he has Alfred.
We'll bring both Batman and Alfred. It's fine.
Yay!
None of the Bat-fam, though. They have to stay.
Boo! Hey, whatever happened to Dad?
What?
Are you all right, Master Bruce? Yes, I'm fine. I just feel like someone was talking about me.
This is going to be my answer to the question. And this is going to be really, I don't know how to describe this, but Mr. Miracle is my answer to the question, because
Mr. Miracle is your answer to every question.
I know, but I really think that Mr. Miracle, were you to transplant him over to the Marvel Universe, it's interesting because I feel like he would really fit somehow. Like, the concept of, like, somebody who uses technology to be, like, a super escape artist kind of deal. I don't know why. It just feels like a concept that fits really well with Marvel. And I don't know if it's because that Mr. Miracle is a Jack Kirby character, and a lot of the visual influence of the Marvel Universe is as a result of Jack Kirby. I don't know. But, I don't know. I just feel like that would work, you know?
I get that. Only if his kick-ass wife is allowed to come with him, because I love Big Barda.
Oh, of course, Bart is allowed to come. Okay, well, now that we've kind of analyzed that situation, what do we say that we hop right on into the book itself and finish this
Absolutely. And if anybody would like to hear our kind of breakdown of why we're doing this episode and also just the breakdown of the story in general, please check out our first episode of JLA Avengers, because we definitely give props to George Perez, who is sadly no longer with us, and who did the frankly phenomenal art in these books. Like, it takes my breath away every time I see them. So this is a tribute to him.
I don't know why you're listening to the second part of this without listening to the first part.
I've done that by accident before. I know.
Oh, really?
Happens.
Oh, okay.
Oh yeah, I've done that with stuff.
I guess that's fair. All right, so let's hop right into this, and we'll start by taking a look at the cover for this one, which we're back to calling it JLA Avengers for this one. And so what are you seeing on this cover, Phil?
I'm seeing everything. I am seeing fucking everybody. There is, like, I'm scanning this page. Number one, George Perez, like you mentioned in the first episode, does crowd scenes so freaking well.
Absolutely.
And this is a masterpiece. Mm-hmm. This is a fucking mural of everybody we love from both Marvel and DC all flying together, like, mm-hmm. at the reader. It's, there's Superman, Batman, Scarlet Witch, Flash, Beast, Black Canary, who is my comic book crush.
That's fair.
Other versions of the Flash, She-Hulk, Martian Manhunter, Thor, Wonder Woman's fucking Spider-Man is in there.
Look, the fact that we've got characters up here like friggin' Thunderstrike is here. Thunderstrike, Kilowog is here. We've got
Kilowog,
friggin'
I
Mantis
see him.
Over here. This is incredible. There's Blue Devil. Who would have thought Blue Devil would be here?
I don't even know who that is.
He's a Blue Devil.
Oh, cool. Glad we cleared that up. I see Booster Gold on the far left-hand side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, oh it's God. Remarkable. Like, this spread of Marvel and DC characters is just absolutely beautiful to look at. And it's a fun fact about this cover, actually. George Perez, when he was drawing this cover, actually developed tendonitis while he was drawing this.
No shit. Oh, well, I can see why. There's like 40 fucking characters on this screen.
Oh, more than that. I would say there's easily 100, at least.
Oh my God. And of course, near the spine of the book, the most important character in any comic book universe, Lobo the main man.
Also, down in the corner, I really like Green Arrow and Hawkeye just side by side firing
back
arrows
to
together.
Back with arrows drawn. That's pretty badass. You know who I don't see, though, and it honestly disappoints me, is my boy Ghost Rider.
Well, he was never an Avenger.
Touche.
Not yet, anyway. Not at this
Not
point.
Not yet, anyway.
Yeah,
Not
yeah.
Then my boy Robbie Reyes moving up in the world.
He's doing well. He's doing really well for himself. He's driving between universes right now, but that's a whole other story.
I will not cause a giant tangent here. All I'll say is I adore Ghost Rider. He's one of my favorite superheroes, and I freaking love Robbie Reyes so much.
All right, so that's let's hop into the comic itself now that we've just looked at the wonder that is this cover. And just really quickly as well, the detail in the facial expressions.
Yeah.
Like, from these people. Like, this is a massive crowd scene. You don't have to be, like, putting a lot of detail into these, but he is. And you can look very closely and see, like, these little, like, facial tics that they have going on, and it's absolutely just wonderful. Like,
that
I'm really
kind of attention to detail is insanely admirable.
Mm-hmm.
That's, like I say in the first episode, that is a mark to what a giant George Perez is in terms of skill.
Mm-hmm. I want to frame this cover somewhere and have it just in my house.
That would be a good use of wall space.
Yes, it would. All right, so let's hop into it. If we remember from last time, the universe went white. So,
Universe ended. Both universes ended.
The universes are gone. We open to the Source Wall in the DC Universe.
Oh, so, cool! Kicking it off real positively.
Yes. So, if you're unfamiliar with the Source Wall, it's basically, it's a concept from Jack Kirby's Fourth World stuff for DC, where basically, like, the source of all life and power and energy in the universe is contained behind a, like, huge, massive wall, and those who have tried to breach it in the past are encrusted in its surface, forever punished for their hubris. And,
Jesus Christ.
And at this point, we see that another figure has been added to these giants, which is Dr. Doom, of all people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're
fucking
looking at...
yeah.
We're looking at Dr. Doom just straight up embedded in this wall.
That's terrifying.
And we see a green bubble watching all this, and from inside is the Justice League... but a strange version of the Justice League, different from the one we've seen before, because this is the Justice League from the 70s. So,
oh, shit!
Yeah, and they're talking about how they've defeated Dr. Doom, and how he'll never be a threat to the Source again. And I'd like to point out that our Green Lantern here is Hal Jordan, so it's a little bit different.
This is getting weird. Things are getting weird.
And also with this group is Hawkeye, of all people. And Hawkeye is Black Canary is making the moves on Hawkeye, and she says, "Oh, Clint, I'm glad you decided to leave your Earth for this one and join the JLA."
To you which, back off. That is Ollie's girl.
To which Clint replies, "With you on this side of the dimensional gulf, baby, believe me, it was no contest." And that's I'd like to point out that cute. Ollie is right there watching this happen, so...
Yeah, it's fucking seriously. She's like, "She's my best friend's girl.
But so Ollie is complaining about it, and he's like, "Hawkeye's the best. Hawkeye's got the cutest eyes. Hawkeye's got some kind of butt. And I swear, Ralph, ever since that blowhard joined up, all I hear is Hawkeye, Hawkeye, Hawk." And then the universe, like, ripples for a moment, and he finishes that with, "Man."
Huh?
Hawk man.
Okay.
And Hawkeye is gone now, and everybody's like, "What? Hawkman isn't even here." And they're like, "What are you talking about?" And we see that Dinah's leaning into Ollie like, "Are you okay, honey?" And it's like, oh.
We're like 2 pages in and I'm already sicked out.
And replacing Hawkeye's spot is Barry Allen, the Flash, who at this point in DC continuity was very much dead.
Yeah.
So, they're like, "All right, we better head back."
What? Is this shit bouncing around to other alternate universes?
We'll see, won't we? And oh, Hal is like, "You got it, Barry. Back to the JLA satellite and the interdimensional communicator. After all, Dr. Doom's not from our universe, so we've got some friends to fill in."
Oh, shit.
And then we see, and once upon a time, there were 2 universes.
Oh! Oh, no!
And Eternity and Kismet, the embodiments of the universe that we have seen previously, are straight up just making out.
The universe be fucking.
Boy, the universe got game, baby.
This is cool. This is also very scary.
It's very scary and very trippy.
Okay.
So, at this point, we cut to Hydro Base, the former headquarters of the Avengers, where they've just defeated Brainiac.
My head hurts.
And again, their lineup has also changed to be an older lineup from Perez's run in the 70s. So we've got Beast and Iron Man and other folks who weren't here previously. And Hank Pym is Ant-Man now. And everybody's here like... So Captain America is seeing this and he's like, "I don't like this."
Yeah, neither do I, Cap.
And everybody's And everybody's confused about why he's saying that. And he's like, "It's not the battle, not the outcome. It's just, it's something I can't describe. Something that just feels wrong. Something out of kilter."
Well, if we all sit down for just a brief moment, I can explain. You know what? Not even a brief moment. We're going to need a couple hours for this lecture. I can explain why things feel off kilter.
But so Wasp mentions that since Brainiac is interdimensional trouble, she's taken the liberty of putting in a call to their old friends, the Justice League.
These people we've never fought once.
And so, the version of the JLA that we saw earlier, also arrives, and, they're having a few moments of, character development, where they're just kind of talking and chatting. Elongated Man says his wife Sue wants to hang out with Hank and Jan sometime, and it's all very cute, actually.
This is so adorably wholesome, and I can't enjoy any of it because I know how wrong it all is.
This is just wrong!
And, Hank is chatting up Barry, it's very cute, Jarvis is making hors d'oeuvres, Ollie talks about how much he hates that Iron Man is a friggin', fat cat munitions dealer. Oh, Ollie, you bleeding heart liberal.
You made the bow and arrow obsolete, you fucker!
But so, at that point, Clint kind of jams in and is like, what? I hear you right, Moldy Arrow? You got a problem with the Avengers? To which Green Arrow replies, no. So you have lower standards than the JLA. So what?
Oh, shit. Okay, the punching is about to resume.
Well, they're squaring off, and Hawkeye's like, yeah, nobody's perfect. The League let a crummy archer like you in. And...
oh, shit!
And I love Dinah over here being like, oh, not this again.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure this has been a long-suffering argument in this universe.
So, while this is all going on, Captain America is looking at photos on the wall of Avengers Mansion that has, like, old crossovers between the JLA and the Avengers, and he's like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah, and, I don't remember this.
And Wonder Woman's like, I think these cross-universe team-ups would be old hat for you. You've done them all the way back to the JSA and the Invaders. What?
Steve's head is about to explode all over this wall.
So he's like, no, this is wrong. This shouldn't be happening. We shouldn't be at Hydro Base. We shouldn't be meeting with... And then the universe ripples again. And we see that Captain America is now wearing a lei. And... he talks about how they were at Hydro Base, but Wasp is like,
okay,
we're not at Hydro Base, Cap, don't you remember? Our annual get-together with the JLA is at their satellite this year, and Ralph and I decided we should have a luau theme.
Limbo, limbo, limbo like me.
And aloha oi, I guess.
And so we're looking at a friggin' luau between the Justice League and the Avengers. And I'd like to point out that for a lot of them, the lineup has changed, the costumes have changed, Guy Gardner is here for some reason.
Yeah. This is what we could have had. This is what we could have had from the very fucking beginning.
Exactly. And they're just having a good time, enjoying each other's company. And Wonder Woman and Wonder Man are arm wrestling, and it is delightful. Hal is coming over to challenge Beast and Simon to a ping pong tournament. Red Tornado is showing Wanda and Viz pictures of his kids. It's just...
Aww.
Oh, it's
this is
wonderful.
So wholesome.
Everything about this.
This is so lovably wholesome, and I can't stand the fact that we're gonna have to destroy it.
Absolutely. But Thor notices that Superman is not enjoying the festivities. He's looking out the window, and he's like, who are you, Thor? Who are any of you?
Why do they remember?
I can feel gravity warping around you, the air ionizing like a storm's coming. And then the universe ripples again, and they're having another get-together, this time at Avengers Mansion. And
okay.
Again, the lineup has changed again, the costumes have all changed again, and across the room, Captain America is yelling out, don't you feel it? Don't you see? Reality keeps changing, it just changed again, I think! We were in space! It's wrong! It's all wrong!
Okay, Cap, time to lay off the champagne.
So, Hal and Barry come over to calm him down, and the universe seems to ripple around them so that he sees Wally and Kyle instead of Hal and Barry. But he's like, no, this is... what? What is happening?
This is like a Pink Floyd concert if you put them all in superhero costumes.
So from back across the room, Superman is like, great Krypton, does he feel it too? So
nah, he's fine.
So they're trying to, you know, calm him down. So Wasp goes over to him and she says, the League are our friends, old friends. We've been doing this for years. Remember when Amazo and Ultron 4 banded together? They trapped both teams in
no
their headquarters.
No Family Guy flashbacks!
And we had to swap worlds to escape and track them down? And I'm just here like, we could be reading that comic!
We could! We could be reading that story with everybody working together.
Remember when the Grim Reaper and the Key had the Serpent Crown? When they kidnapped Mantis and Zatanna and tried to use them as some sort of key to celestial power?
No, but that also sounds awesome.
Remember Kang and the Lord of Time? Battling each other? The quest for the Cronal Egg? And I'm just sitting here like, That was the original proposal from the 80s for this series. Nice.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, they have a fun reference in there to that.
That is a great reference. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good time. And meanwhile, while all this is going on, Iron Man and Batman are trying to keep track of what's going on with their enemies in each dimension. But Captain America is still losing his shit, and now so is Superman. And they're each blaming each other for these weird ripples in the universe.
Why do they remember and other people don't? Or why are they able to sense it?
That's an excellent question, isn't it? So, at this point, Captain America and Superman are going to square off, but as soon as they go to punch each other, the universe breaks, and all goes to white again.
Andrew.
Yes?
This is a lot.
It is, absolutely.
Not gonna lie, this is a lot right off the bat.
Oh no, I've gone cross-eyed.
Don't worry, we're going to get some explanations coming down the line here for what's going
on.
I
certainly hope so.
So, as the universe goes white again, we cut to a snow-filled landscape where the Vision wakes up and is digging himself out of this ruined area. And at the same time, Aquaman is climbing out of the harbor here.
This looks far less pleasant than the luau.
No, I know. Could we just go back to the luau and have that be the whole book?
Please, yes, please, everyone get along.
Yeah, really. So, he addresses Aquaman, and Aquaman is going over to him like, "What have you done, Avenger, to the rest of the JLA? To the world?" And he goes to punch him, and he realizes that he has two hands.
Oh, that's right. This is after Aquaman gets his golden hook.
Yes, at this point, Aquaman didn't have that second hand, and he's very confused by it. And Vision says that his mind is also clouded, so he's not entirely sure what the heck is going on. And they try to figure it out, and at this point they see the crashed Daily Planet. So they know now that they're in Metropolis.
No.
Yeah, it just looks bad.
Somebody needs to get on the window cleaners about all those broken windows.
But then they're ambushed by a group of supervillains who say that, "This ain't your world, heroes, not anymore. The Master said you'd turn up, and the Master said you gotta die."
Who the fuck are you?
Well, I do recognize some of them, like,
Killer Croc, Poison Ivy.
Yep, and, Mammoth back there from the Teen Titans.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't know all of these people, but, there is a combination here of, like, DC and Marvel folks here. And so Aquaman and the Vision start kind of fighting them off, but they're not doing well. So luckily, backup arrives in the form of Green Lantern and Thor and Captain America to help them out. And Iron Man
cool.
as well.
Cool.
Yeah. So everything's
good
going a little better
to back
here.
Them up.
Mm-hmm. So Wonder Woman tries to figure out what's going on with who this Master is. And they say that somebody is trapped. But then Aquaman says to Hal, "Well, it's good to see some friendly faces, Hal, but aren't you... And Hal's like, I don't know.
I'd stay away from that particular topic for right now.
Yeah, really. So at this point, they're still very, very confused. And they find that the heroes of two worlds are scattered across Metropolis. We then cut to New York in the Marvel Universe, where everything is on fire!
Oh, God, no! Why is the entirety of New York burning?
And we have the same kind of situation here, where it's various characters in various incarnations. Like, again, Barry Allen is here, Hank Pym is Goliath right now, Scarlet Witch is wearing an earlier costume. It's all just kind of a little bit of a mess. And they're trying to figure out what the hell is going on here.
Why is New York on fire?
So Superman, as he's putting out a fire, is trying to find everybody, and he's like, "We're in the Avengers world. Our memories are hazy. Barry is the Flash, which seems odd, but I'm not sure why." And it's like, oh boy.
Yeah, let's not Let's not talk about anybody that's supposed to be dead right now.
I thought you were dead.
I was.
So, at that point, they're joined by a group of civilians who are, yelling out, "Avengers, help us!" Or, "I'm worried about my sister, I couldn't call through to Keystone." And it turns out that the civilians have been merging, too. Because somebody mentions that he's from Kurok, which is a country that only exists in the DC universe.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that makes sense. You know, they're part of the universe, too. It makes sense that they're, like, blending and changing.
Mm-hmm. And it's all just kind of a mess here. And then they're starting to see snow. And as they see the snow, they see, like, translucent versions of other people who are yelling out to help us. And
oh god, that's a nightmare. That
oh, absolutely.
Is a pure nightmare.
It is nightmare inducing. And Superman asks Jean to read their minds and see what the hell's going on. But
probably not a great idea.
And he tries to do so, but he basically disappears as he tries to do that.
Oh, God. Yeah, bad idea. Bad idea when the universe is fluctuating.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the sky has gone green and purple and, like, is swirling. And we cut back over to the snowy version of Metropolis. And they're all just, again, confounded and confused and trying to figure out what the hell's going on. And at that point, the Martian Manhunter comes through. And he's like, "I believe I know something of what is happening, though I still do not know why."
We are all completely fucked.
And he takes his mind, and he reaches out to the other universe, and he says, "These storms are causing people to switch worlds, and casting them from one to another completely randomly."
Oh! Okay. See, this is what happens when you play a game with Jeff Goldblum.
Never play Parcheesi with Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, shit gets weird.
But so, basically, what they're learning is that the storms are increasing in frequency and in violence. And
good news!
And their effect is also happening. And it's at that point that Superman finds a newspaper in Marvel's Earth that's the Daily Planet, and it's an interview by Clark Kent with Spider-Man.
Oh my god!
So, what we're seeing here is that the universes are basically merging completely and totally at random.
I would like to call this issue the 50 other comic book plots we could have had.
They've realized what's happening, and that Krona is the master. Because of what they've been observing, Krona's face appears in the clouds in both universes, and Hal recognizes him because Krona's an old Green Lantern villain. So they're kind of like, "Oh God, this is terrible." And at that point, Captain America starts screaming at Green Lantern, "I knew this was your world's doing. You strut like peacocks and expect to be worshipped all the time." And
dude, not now. Not now, okay? Later. Not now.
Superman picks up on that and is like, "You have no business criticizing a better man than you'll ever be when you and your band of failures let your world sink to such a sorry state." And at that point, Wonder Woman jumps in and is like, nope, we're not doing this again."
Thank you. Thank you, Diana. Thank you for being the only one with a head on your shoulders.
Well, Wasp also hops in at this point and just completely, she completely agrees with Diana with this whole thing. And
thank
at this point,
God.
Superman is like, we fought, we assembled items of power, and it was a game. The Grandmaster's game. And Cap is coming to similar conclusions. But as they do so, the ground is erupting beneath them, and again, the energy version of Krona pops out of the ground and is straight up screaming, and the storm is beginning to start up again in greater and greater intensity.
This is like an H.P. Lovecraft story on crank.
Oh, it is absolutely horrific. And then Superman starts flying to the sky and says, "I think I know what's happening."
It might have something to do with that thing, the big green screaming face in the sky.
Yikes!
Am I right?
Mm-hmm. So Cap instructs Iron Man to follow after him, and they fly up into the sky, and Superman is using his vision to look around the Earth, and he says, "As I feared, it's not just happening locally, and it's not a one-to-one match either. Your New York isn't ghosting our New York. Gotham's emerging thousands of miles where it should be, and now it's expanding, going worldwide. Jerusalem, India, Vlatova, Japan, Butran, places I don't even recognize, merging without rhyme or reason."
I hate that. That is some world-ending horror right there.
Absolutely. And Iron Man explains it based on the fact that their Earths are different sizes, different densities, have different magnetic properties. So these Earths are completely incompatible, but they're merging.
We might have figured that out when both of our superhero teams decided they hated each other.
But they fly into space, and they're able to see giant hands physically pushing these Earths together.
It's like when you're trying to put together a jigsaw puzzle and you're trying to make a piece fit.
Exactly. And Superman explains it as this being how their minds are trying to comprehend and process what they're witnessing. And
Jesus Christ.
Oh yeah, it's absolutely horrific stuff.
The merger alone between just the heroes is scary enough. To see fucking major cities and countries clashing together,
mm-hmm.
This might be above a lot of people's pay grades right now.
Oh, you think so?
Just a tiny bit.
So, Krona is absolutely delighted by this whole process. But Scarlet Witch, decides she's had enough of this and shoots her chaos magic into the sky toward atmospheric Krona. And she appears to actually be hurting him.
If anyone can do it, it's fucking Wanda.
And she says, "He's too powerful, too strong, pushing me." To which Hal Jordan chimes in and says, "Just hang tight, lady, you're not alone in this. You've opened the door a crack, so all we need is enough willpower."
Nobody has taken my power battery. Sorry, Kyle.
So, between the combined power of Wanda and Hal, they're managing to basically beat Krona back, which is giving them enough leeway to basically preserve things, and they separate the Earths again.
Oh, good. All it took was a blast from Scarlet Witch and a power ring. That's all it takes to keep universes from colliding.
Hey, chaos magic and willpower. It's good stuff.
I guess, apparently.
Now this is what it's like when worlds collide!
So we cut back to the kind of devastated Avengers mansion, where Jarvis is seated outside, just having a bad old time. And,
I have to clean all of this up.
But the Avengers, managed to come back here, and, he asks if there's any power, to which he replies, "Yes, Mr. Stark's emergency generators have been functioning perfectly." "Good. Then I'll ask you to get the coffee started, old friend, because I think we're about to have company."
And we want to be civil about it, too. There's no excuse for not being good hosts.
Oh, exactly. And at that point, they're correct, because the Justice League, comes through the Avengers teleporter and, joins them. And Captain America says, "Justice League, we have a respite. We've delayed Krona, but if he's truly our foe, I doubt very strongly that we've defeated him." To which Superman responds, "But at least we know now what we're up against. Let's get started."
By the way, Jarvis made finger sandwiches.
Ooh! So, the worlds are stable at this point, but time and space are still kind of weird, because Hawkeye's wearing a costume he hasn't worn for years. Thor has a beard. Martian Manhunter mentions that by reading the thoughts of Hawkgirl and Firestorm, they're of different eras as well. Also, apparently Wonder Woman has changed. So basically, like, time and space are still a little bit, not well.
I was gonna say, we're not just fucking with the universe right now, we're fucking with the goddamn time stream.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And it's still unstable. So Barry points out that, on the spans of deep space that they're having, new stars are forming in places they thought empty. There's gonna be graphitic distortions, and it's all going to be starting up again soon.
What possessed the Grandmaster to think that this was a good idea?
Two universes are fucked, basically, is where we're at right now.
Yeah, but I won the game.
So, thinking along the same lines as you are, Cap realizes that the key to all this is indeed Jeff Goldblum. He's saying that they... the Grandmaster. Just continuing our thread from last time.
Yes, sir.
But so, he's basically like, we assembled those artifacts, but what did he do? To which Batman says, only one way to find out. We have to find the Grandmaster and ask him ourselves. And I'd like to point out that he's saying this while sipping from a little teacup. So,
shit! By the way, this ginseng is delicious.
My compliments to Jarvis.
Everyone knows I can't punch bad guys without having my chamomile.
Good tea. Nice house.
So, Tony Stark proposes a plan that maybe they can go back to the Savage Land to see if they can isolate him and track him down. But at this point, someone else arrives. It's the Phantom Stranger from DC.
Okay, this is the first time we're seeing him.
Yes, he is. And Aquaman's really mad about the fact that he's here. It's actually hilarious, like...
How dare you come into this dwelling wearing a hat?
Oh, I'm sorry. Takes the hat off.
Yeah, all right. I have no problems with you now.
Thank you. Anyway, so the Phantom Stranger explains that worlds are in peril and he can guide them to where they need to go. But Thor's not about this, but Superman talks him down. And so they're all kind of willing to follow the Phantom Stranger where he leads. So
Thor, you know you're in the wrong here when Superman is the one to talk you out of beating someone up from another universe.
That he's been all about that this whole time.
Exactly, that's been his entire shtick. I really just want to punch everybody from this other world.
Yeah, it's weird and terrible, and I hate it.
But seriously, we should listen to this purple guy for some reason.
So, the Phantom Stranger manifests a mystical staircase through which all the Avengers and the JLA are able to follow him into this, like, mystical space where, the best way to describe this is, like, a chroma keyed trippy.
What do I even fucking say? Like, this is like, Alice in Wonderland wishes it could be this fucking weird. We're literally walking on a purple bridge through the space between universes. I once again bring up the question that I posed in the last episode. Remember when superheroes used to fight bank robbers?
That's all cosmic now.
So much cosmic.
All the cosmic. So, like you, Hank Pym is trying to figure out what the heck is going on, and the Phantom Stranger replies, "Stay on the path, Dr. Pym. Should you stray from it, you will never find your way back. Nor will any who know you ever see your face again."
I think we can trust him on that, considering everything off the path looks to be just... space.
Yeah, you don't want to wander off into that.
Oh, here are the coffee mugs.
So he leads them into the Grandmaster's headquarters from before, where the Grandmaster is not well.
Yeah, he looks like he's seen better days.
Yeah, if we remember, Krona really did a number on him back before the universe went white. So he's still experiencing that, and they're all really worried about him, and he's like, "I have made a most grievous error. I don't expect Krona, so ruthless, he left me for dead, attack Galactus, I called on power of artifacts, used it to bind universes together, trapped Krona at
I completely forgot
point.
That this man had lasers.
So basically, he was like, Krona's stuck at the juncture point between the universes, but they're fundamentally incompatible, and that some of them, among them, are so strongly attuned to their true realities that sensing the changes made them edgy and uneasy. So that's why Superman and Cap have been so weird about this whole thing.
I've got news for you guys. Superman and Cap have been edgy and uneasy throughout this entire run.
And the reason why is revealed here. Because they, like, represent the fundamental aspects of their universes. Like, they
True.
Are the prime example of heroism from each of their universes. So that's what makes them so uneasy whenever they go to the other universe.
Okay, I'll buy that.
Yes, absolutely.
I like that, actually. I like that, because they really are. It, like, in reality, they are written to be the ultimate examples of, like, paragons, the ultimate paragons of justice and peace and upholding all that is good, really, in both of these different universes.
Mm-hmm. So the role that they have both of them play here, in the fact that they are so uneasy when thrust out of that universe, is just brilliant storytelling, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, basically, the Grandmaster continues that Krona is trying to force the universes together, and is in fact accelerating the process to bring the worlds together, annihilate them, cause a new Big Bang, and experience the secrets at the beginning of the universe.
Krona, you can't force the worlds together. You gotta be patient and let them take their course.
Finesse them a little. Let their Kurok see their Genosha, if you know what I mean.
That's what's happening with Eternity and Kismet, if you know what I'm saying.
It really is, though. Like, they even, like, showcase Eternity and Kismet making out with Krona in the middle of them. It's insane!
This is what happens when universes fuck.
So, Wonder Woman asks if he can't just separate the universes again, since he brought them together in the first place. But the Grandmaster says that he's pretty well fucked right now. That he's
yeah,
like...
Yeah, he looks it.
Yeah, he's like dying actively? So, the only way to restore proper order is to defeat Krona.
Okay, so it all boils down to beat the bad guy.
Essentially, yeah. So, they're ready to do this, but Superman and Captain America are both like, okay, so, what are our unaffected universes really like? We have very hazy memories of that. So, what's the real truth that we're fighting for? And at this point, the Grandmaster is like, ah, wise of you to ask. Here, I, will show you truth, and, you shall decide. And the Grandmaster points a finger, and energy emerges from it. And what they see is the true memories and true histories of their universes. And they see the destruction of the satellite and the sinking of Hydrobase. Batman is really confused by the Justice League International for some reason.
The world's greatest detective.
And we see events like Martian Manhunter seeing the destruction of his people. Hank Pym sees his mental breakdown and what he did to Jan. Like, smacking Jan. And it's killing him. Aquaman sees the loss of his hand. Vision sees himself losing himself. Wanda sees the loss of her fucking children again.
Hey, can we go back to the luau?
Oh, we're not done yet, because Barry sees his own death in Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Hey, Jeff, this is super not cool.
We also
can we go back to the fuzzy memories?
So Batman sees the death of Jason Todd. He sees Bane breaking his back. Wonder Woman sees her mother dying on Themyscira, and it's like, oh no.
Very much, oh no.
Superman sees his own death. Iron Man sees his descent into alcoholism. Hal sees his turn to evil and becoming the Spectre. And it's like, this is tearing them all apart.
Hey, we can go ahead and fight Krona now, but we're all gonna need, like, 5 minutes.
So they're all like, so that's how it really was. And at that point, the Grandmaster dies.
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
Welp!
He used the last of his power to restore their memories of the previous universe.
Welp! Sure hope they got somebody that can handle those magic items.
It's just, it's devastating. It really is. Because these are like the idealized versions of these characters. The versions from like the 70s, when before all this shit had happened to them. And seeing that rushing in all at once, it's just, oh man.
And woo! Now they know what the future holds for all of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's and this is why you don't fuck with time travel, kids.
Yeah. So they're trying to decide what it is that they should do now that they know all this.
Get therapy. That's what they need to do.
Oh. And it's especially devastating to hear from people like Barry and Hal, because Barry's like, I think we know we won't all live to retire, if that's what it takes. And how, like, we did leave legacies, but what I did? He basically killed the Green Lantern Corps.
And this is the mark of being true heroes, is knowing all of that, they're still ready to fight for the good of everybody.
Mm-hmm. And Wanda, especially, yells out, I could take dying, madness, disfigurement, anything, but I saw children, I saw our children, and I lost them! There must be another way, there must be!
Oh, Wanda. Let Wanda have her kids, goddammit!
Never!
Never in any iteration!
Never is she allowed. And Hal responds to that with, I know, Wanda. I know. I saw myself go mad, murder friends. But there isn't another way, and we all know it. And this is
Jesus
it.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, this is basically their mark of heroism and everything, is them seeing all this and saying that they're still gonna fight.
They still gotta fight, because it's not just them. It's the, like I say before, the quadrillions of lives that are still depending on them.
Mm-hmm. And that's what, Captain America basically yells out, we're coming for you! The Justice League and the Avengers united! All the way to the bitter end!
Oh, my heart.
And we see that outside of the universe, Metron is watching this shit! He's still around!
You... I hate Metron so much! I hate you! I hate you and your stupid chair!
Aw, come on. It's comfy.
You're such a douchebag! Watching these people have these fucking emotional breakdowns and just like, oh, ooh, that's fascinating. Get fucked! I hope your ass cramps up in that floating chair, you douche nozzle.
Get fucked, Metron!
By the way, the Atom rode your chair. How does that make you feel?
Ew. Gets out a dust cloth, just starts wiping off the side of his chair.
I hope that thing gets shitty gas mileage, you asshat.
But so yeah, with that declaration of heroism and Metron being a weird perv, we end issue 3.
Oh my god. See, this right here, this is why I love the concept of heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have the kind of strength that we all strive to have. Can you fucking imagine seeing a future where you lose your mind and kill your friends? Or seeing a future where your children vanish before your eyes? Seeing that, knowing that that's going to happen, and saying, but the universe needs to go on for the sake of everybody else, taking that kind of pain onto yourself for the sake of everybody else.
Absolutely.
That's tragically beautiful.
I know, and it's wonderful what they're doing with this series, and giving, especially since at this point in time, Hal Jordan did not have that catharsis, you know?
Like,
at this point, he does now, but he didn't at this point because he was very dead, and the Spectre.
Yeah.
But, you know.
And also, you know, God's right hand, but who cares about that?
Yeah. But so, yeah, like, we're going into a very promising start as we go into our final issue for this. And let's talk about this cover for issue 4.
My God.
What are we seeing on this cover, man? What are we seeing?
We are seeing what might quite possibly be the most badass image I've ever witnessed. It is Superman, beaten and costume torn, with the fusing worlds behind him. In his left hand, he is holding Captain America's shield. In his right hand, he is lifting Thor's hammer.
Mm. Oh, it's gorgeous. Like,
that is a goddamn hero.
Like,
right
there's
there.
Not much. There's not much more that you can say about this image. It's just fucking beautiful.
Oh my God, I would follow him into hell and back.
Absolutely. So luckily, that was an easy cover to cover. Ha!
Ah! Now let's get into the pain.
Yep, let's hop back into it. So at this point, Krona is delving into the origins of Galactus and seeing what it was that brought him through into the next universe. He, basically, his people built a spaceship. Galactus is basically a Superman. They built a spaceship, they flew him into the terminal velocity of this dying universe, and whatever entity is responsible for creation transformed Galen of the planet Ta into the World Eater Galactus.
We need to send him to this other universe. Oh, we didn't pack him a snack. Dang it. Hope he doesn't get hungry.
So, Krona sees this, and he's like, that is what I wrenched from Galactus's mind, the secret of his birth. But do you see a voice in one universe, a hand in another? There is a spirit that gives life to universes, a consciousness deep in their very fabric. They think, feel, live, and I'm pretty sure his name is Jack Kirby.
I was gonna say, and it fucks other universes.
But this is getting all very meta for a little while, because it's like,
seriously,
the universe is created by others, and we see now that he's talking to Metron about this, and Metron's like, quite a discovery, quite a breakthrough. So Krona, what now? And basically, Krona's like, all right, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna force these universes together, and I'll know what happens. I will know the force between universes of creation.
I love that Krona's plot basically boils down to just holding a universe in one hand, holding another universe in his other hand, and going, I wonder what would happen if I just bashed these two things together. How cool would that be?
Hey, you got your Genosha in my Kurok!
Well, you got your Taj Mahal in my Space Needle!
Oh, this is a mess. This is an utter mess.
This is going off the rails.
So, as we see this happening, the worlds are starting to merge again. And we cut to New York, where we see a bunch of the Marvel heroes who haven't been involved with this up to this point, basically helping out civilians. So we see Spider-Man, we see the New Warriors,
Spidey!
We see Daredevil, Captain Britain for some reason.
He's visiting New York, he's on vacation.
Mm-hmm. And Henry Peter Gyrick, who is the Avengers government liaison, is being asked if there's any word of them. And to which he replies, they're working on the problem and everything is under control.
Spoiler alert, everything is not in control at all.
We then cut to the DC universe and their New York, where they're also helping to contain the damage. We see the 80s version of the Teen Titans, and weirdly also the 90s version of the Teen Titans helping out here.
They are accepting this way better than the other more grown-up heroes ever have.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I love Beast Boy here, just seeing a pterodactyl come out of nowhere and being like, oh man, as if it wasn't bad enough, now we got dinosaurs!
but now you can change into them!
And they're asking Maxwell Lord if there's any news from the Justice League, to which he replies, communication with their lunar headquarters has been spotty, but we're confident they're giving their full efforts to the crisis, and we'll have a solution soon.
I'm sure they don't have bigger fish to fry right now.
No, absolutely not. This is fine. This is fine.
You know, we have dinosaurs and the world literally ending, but I'm sure they don't have anything bigger to worry about.
So, we cut to the Justice League headquarters in this universe, where Vision is objecting to this plan, and says that he just wants to go home and find his children. And
Vision.
Yes. And he's basically saying that if this reality is really the true one, why should we have to suffer like that? Rather than have this reality where none of that happened and everything is comparatively fine.
Because other people are suffering, dude. A lot more people.
Yeah, Vision's really going the more selfish route here. And Scarlet Witch comes down and is basically like, reality as we know it is warped, unstable, and it's affecting even us. 20 minutes ago, we never had children. In 5 minutes, we may not even have ever been married. Don't you see? We can't preserve the way things are, but if we try to restore what was...
Yeah, reality's kind of wibbly-wobbly right now, dude. There is no guarantee you're gonna get anything you want.
And Vision is swayed by this argument, so he's back on board with the plan.
You know it's bad when the person talking sense into your into something involving your kids is Wanda Maximoff.
Yeah, really, at this point. So, they're basically trying to figure out how they're going to do this assault on Krona, because they could be faced with absolutely anything or anyone, because remember those supervillains that he was controlling in Metropolis? He might be able to do that to anyone. So, you know, it's a bad time.
It is. Hey, is that Kyle Rayner's power battery?
Wow, why does he need Kyle specifically?
Oh my god. I will laugh so fucking hard if this all comes down to Kyle Rayner getting his power battery back.
Kyle's gonna fly in here like, I got it, everybody! No!
No! No! He just dissolves away into nothing.
But that brings to my... They are discussing the artifacts and the fact that Krona has them now as well, which is a bad time. But so they're talking about how they're going to get in there. And they have an idea about a ship that they can use and about what they're going to have to do in order to get there. And Superman points out that they'll need a commander who can lead both teams. And he suggests that this should be Captain America.
Well, to be fair, Cap was one of the ones to decide, hey, we need to work together first and foremost, so I can see that logic.
Absolutely. And the fact that Superman is saying this as well is, you know, very good. But Cap points out, I'm not so sure. The conflicting nature of our two worlds has put us on edge, frayed tempers, judgments. And Superman replies, I know, but you're still the man for the job.
Oh, look at that growth. Look at that character development. I know. Look at Supes not being a dick mule.
I know. And everybody pretty much agrees. And Cap makes a speech about the fact that they don't know what they're going to be facing, but they can train together and get used to one another's styles while they're getting their transportation ready.
Hey, whatever happened to that interdimensional bike that Reed Richards had Ben bring over?
I think they left that thing back in the Grandmaster's headquarters.
Oh, great. Okay, that's not important to hang on to or anything.
No, definitely not.
Probably took a ton of taxpayers' dollars to build that son of a bitch, but let's just leave it behind in this interdimensional gateway.
Hey, maybe Grandmaster will give it back when the universes are restored. Who knows?
And when he stops being dead.
Yeah, that they kind of got to fix that problem.
I don't think CPR is going to help him at this point.
But so we see them now readying an Atlantean Imperial warcraft to travel through space rather than the water, since it's able to handle the pressures of the ocean trenches. They figure that'll be their best chance as they're flying into this crazy insanity.
Makes sense.
And we have this moment here, a couple of moments, where we see Bruce Wayne and Tony Stark collaborating on some of the engineering. We see Wasp and the Atom connecting wires while they're shrunk. It's just a great show of these two teams working together in synergy.
Look how much we can do when we work together.
Nice song.
Thank you. I also love that, like, well, how the fuck are we gonna get there? Oh, let's just take this submarine and stick wings on it. We'll just fly it up there and hit the guy.
Wee!
And everyone's like, that's just brilliant enough to work!
Well, it'll take the stresses in a way that none of their other aircraft will probably be able to.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a good thought.
Everybody knows that hard work can get rid of all that existential crisis in your brain.
And they do mention that what's going to be hard is tonight, while they're waiting for the dimensional harmonics to be right for their transfer to Krona. And we see that with a couple of character building moments. Vision and Wanda are basically holding each other. Now that they know what's going to happen. Hank apologizes to Jan for what he saw and how he regrets sacrificing their happiness. And then the bit that really kills me is Hal and Barry. Because Hal looks over at Barry and he's like, you know, Barry, Wally's a good kid. If he's your successor, I'd have been proud to know him, to work with him. You couldn't ask for better.
Oh.
And Barry replies, that guy who takes over his GL, he looked pretty good too. Maybe it's not so bad to die. Not if you leave a legacy. If you know someone will still be fighting for what you believed in.
Stop! No.
I know! This is the scene that I was teasing kills me every single time!
There is something about the acceptance of impending tragedy that makes it way more tragic. I don't know what it is, but it's so fucking sad!
I know.
These guys are going to die, and they're okay with it.
And it gets even sadder because Barry's like, if only there was one more day. One more cookout with Iris and Carol.
No, stop!
One more loud night out with Ollie and Ralph.
Please, please someone stop them from dying.
Nope. I mean, if it helps, they're both back now.
I know nobody ever stays dead in comics, but this is so fucking sad.
Oh, I know. And, you know, we have another couple of bonding moments here, one between Thor and Aquaman.
We both have beards.
Nice.
And we're both gorgeous blonde hunks. Brother!
I mean, that's basically what it amounts to, is like, wow, you're cool. Thanks, you're cool too.
We really didn't have a reason to fight, did we? Nope, not that I can think of.
So, at that point, we end our character building with a conversation between Captain America and Superman, where they basically apologize for being douchebags.
Good, thank you, progress.
And Superman says, I'll confess, I do sometimes worry about doing too much. About denying humanity freedom of choice. Ooh. To which Cap replies, that's what made it sting, isn't it? That deep down we both worry it might be true. In my case, that as hard as the Avengers fight, I fear sometimes it may never be enough.
That's why they wanted to fight each other so badly, because the other one tapped into their deepest fear and regret when it comes to being a hero.
Exactly! Totally! Completely!
Oh.
And it makes so much more sense now, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does make a ton of sense. Okay.
Yeah, you get it now.
I do. I understand the douchebaggery.
Yeah, it's not so nice when someone taps into your deepest fears and regrets,
and then screams it in your face.
Yeah, that wasn't exactly nice.
But at least they're talking. Look at them talking.
They are. And it gets even better because Cap says that since he'll be in the command ship coordinating the attack, he wants Superman to carry his shield into battle.
Oh, Supes, you don't know what kind of honor that is.
He does. He absolutely does, actually, because his face and what he says, basically, he's like, I'm honored, Captain. I'll do my best to wield it well.
By the way, please bring it back. This was really expensive.
So I shouldn't break it then.
If you can help it, please, yes. I actually haven't finished paying it off yet.
I'm a month out from my last payment.
It was a lot of vibranium.
So, after that touching moment, using Mjolnir as a power source and readying the Imperial craft, and also hooking up the power of Barry's cosmic treadmill to make the... comics, man! It's comics!
The Flash has been reduced to a hamster on a wheel.
It's the cosmic treadmill, man! Come on!
I need a fucking cosmic treadmill. I think we all do.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
The cosmic treadmill.
So they're ready to make it happen. And Wanda is helping out with this as well by pouring a little bit of probability disruption into it to help them in their quest here.
Where are they even going?
They're going to the locus of the dimensional merging so that they can find where Krona's headquartered at this point.
Oh shit. All right, let's track that fucker down.
So there they go, and they find Krona's stronghold, which is made out of the remains of Galactus.
Oh no. I just imagine, it's fucking Krona floating in space, and just, welp, sure did royally fuck up on this one. I really need a place to stay. Let me just grab this helmet. This will make a good roof. Ooh, the arms will bring out the decor.
Do you think he put any chairs in there?
I imagine so, and I imagine they're just made from, like, Galactus's cuticles or something.
Ooh, cozy.
This man had excellent nail beds.
Which is impressive, considering I've never seen him with his gloves off.
Oh my god, that's awesome, but also really terrifying.
Awesome, morbid, horrifying, all at once.
Poor Galactus. He just wanted to float through the universe. He got yanked into this conflict and then got turned into a house.
So, at this point, Krona has detected their approach. And in order to keep them back, he is using the terrorist forces from each universe. Like, we've got Hydra, we've got AIM, we've got Cobra. It's like, wow.
I know what will stop this team of heroes. Lots of guns!
Basically, that's the strategy that Krona's working with here.
Oh my god.
Oh, and also Darkseid's parademons are here too.
Oh, cool! Where the fuck is Darkseid?
Somewhere.
I'm lending these men to you for temporary use only. You will bring them back. I have not finished paying them off yet.
What's the lease on the parademons?
It depends on the parademon, I imagine. Different models, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But ultimately, they're all pretty much mown down by the combined forces of the Avengers and the Justice League. And as they're charging in, Thor yells out, "And now let the cry ring out, let it shake the ground and rock the firmament above, that Krona shall know we come for him." And we see Hal, Batman, Wonder Woman, Superman, and the Scarlet Witch yelling out, "Avengers assemble!"
Fuck yes! You know how you said that the issue of, that the cover of issue 3 needed to be a poster on your wall? I need that fucking spread to be a poster on my wall.
Oh yes, it's absolutely wonderful.
Avengers assemble.
So at this point, Jean connects Captain America to everybody, and they're able to work their way through these terrorist organizations, basically like nobody's business. Also, the Mole Man's Moloids show up, so that's fun.
Did you forget about me?
No one forgets about Mole Man. So the battle's going pretty well at this point. They're holding them off and trying to figure out how they can get through to Krona's actual stronghold. And then, at this point, the universe ripples again, and their roster changes.
Oh, no!
Yep, here we go again!
Oh, not now!
Yep. So, everybody's a little bit confused about what's going on again. Although some of the people who were here at the start are still here, like Wasp and Hank, and they're like, it's some sort of chronal instability, the energy that's been making our worlds go crazy, and it's reached here now, and it's affecting us, our uniforms, our rosters.
This is almost like it's where it's originating from.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So, Cap is like, we don't have time for this. John, update the newcomers and feed a status bullet directly into their minds. Quicksilver, join the scouts. So
can't deal with this bullshit right now. Gotta go.
So yeah, they're getting everybody up to speed, and everybody's basically going back into it. And then the ante gets upped, because instead of like random rank and file minions, we start to get supervillains.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no.
And we start with the Royal Flush Gang.
Okay, more guns, but okay.
Well, yeah, you know.
These guns have names!
Yep, and Metron's just like, your defenses seem quite efficient, Krona. You have had to increase the caliber of your thralls somewhat.
What a fucking dick. Every time Metron speaks, I just want to punch him in the face. He's such a judgmental asshole, and he never gets up from his chair.
But so, as this is going on, Krona reveals that he has found the consciousnesses of the two realms. So, he's got Eternity and Kismet, and he has seized them.
I found Jack Kirby!
Oh, God, no!
The ultimate power is mine!
Hey, I've just got a pencil.
Exactly. It is the greatest item of creation in the universes!
Yeah, I guess you got a point there.
I'm just gonna flip it around and use this little eraser here. Wait, what? No! No!
No!
And all the other teams just, wow, thanks, Jack Kirby!
Don't mention it. So, yeah, Krona is basically, like, putting together his whole thing so that he can finally have his answers. And he asks Metron if he'll help him out with, the heroes and, force the universes into an accounting. To which Metron replies,
no, I don't think I will.
Oh, here it comes.
Uh-huh.
Here we go.
So, Metron
curse
basically...
Curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal!
Metron basically calls Krona out at this point and is just like, ask yourself what you truly seek, Krona. Ask yourself honestly. Is it truth, answers, or is it conquest? What happens next, I leave up to you, but I shall be watching.
What? Let me ask you a very serious question, Metron. What do you do successfully?
Quickly!
What would you say you do here?
He sits in a chair.
And is a dick.
He sits in a chair, he studies the universe, you know, good times.
Fine. I hate him.
So we cut back out to the battle, and again, it's basically a whole...
Quick, back to the plot!
And basically, again, it's a whole thing with shifting costumes, shifting rosters. Batroc the Leaper is there for some reason and kicks Batman in the face.
Damn it, I'm really getting my ass kicked by you.
Yes, you are. It's me, Batroc the Leaper.
I don't even know who you are.
I'm a Captain America villain. I am classic.
Is he really?
Oh yeah, he's a Captain America villain.
Is his whole thing, is he just jumps really well?
He's an acrobat. He's a French acrobat, and that's pretty much his whole shtick.
Oh, Bruce is never going to let himself live down getting kicked by that guy.
I love this bit, too. Like, this is a bit of a tangent, but look what he's saying here. He's like, the voice in my head tells me you are a most skillful fighter, and Batroc, he loves to meet the skillful fighters. Let us see which one of us is the most skillful, huh?
You know, buddy, I appreciate your chutzpah, but I think Bruce Wayne has got this one.
Really? Over the Frenchman? Why would you think that?
If this dude took down Frank Castle single-handedly, I don't think you got a shot.
So again, shifting rosters, shifting characters, fighting supervillains, business as usual. And it's basically a lot of that for a while. Like, we see things like Mullet Superman, which is amazing.
Superman gets a glorious mullet at one point, apparently.
Yeah, that's 90s Superman, like, after he came back from the dead, he sported a mullet for a hot minute.
I mean, there's really no barbers in the afterlife.
Yeah, you know. So that keeps going, and they fight, and they fight, and they fight, and they fight for a while. But there is a moment here where, Hawkeye is falling from the ground after an assault by the Absorbing Man, but he's caught by Barry, and then it seems that they're vaporized by Krona. So,
oh, shit!
Goodbye, Clint and Barry!
If I have to die, I die knowing I banged Black Canary at one point.
Ollie over here like, I hate him so much.
Either that or he's like, that's fair.
So everyone's very much concerned with everything that's going on, because everyone's like shifting in an instant. Like, in a moment we've got Silver Age Hal shifting to 90s Hal shifting to Kyle, and it's like, oh boy,
I still don't have my fucking power battery,
damn it, this ring is not charged. But there is another touching moment here where Ollie picks up Hawkeye's abandoned quiver, and he's like, sorry, Hawkeye. You were even better at being a pain in the butt than me, and that's saying something. But I'll make every one of your shafts count. Every one.
Including the one that bangs Black Canary.
Jesus Christ!
I'm sorry, I
give her a flourish for me, young feller!
Oh, no! No! So, wow, they're really dead, aren't they? Like, actually, factually dead.
Well, that's what it looks like, yeah.
I don't like the way you said that, but okay, we can continue.
So, more fighting, and more fighting, and more fighting, and more fighting. And more fighting, and more fun little moments. Like, for example, Captain Marvel.
Oh, hey, buddy!
A couple of Captain Marvels. Seriously? Like, there's Marvel's Captain Marvel and DC's Captain Marvel. And at one point, Dr. Light yells out, Captain Marvel, look out! And they both go, thanks!
I love that fucking reference.
It's very fun. It's very fun. Also, the Hulk is here for a minute. That's a good time.
I love it, the idea of him just popping in, just, no, Hulk, smash all the, boop, and he's just gone again.
I mean, that's pretty much what happens. He turns into some weird blue guy who I don't know. So, that's fun.
And poor Falcon is there too, just like, wait, what the hell? Boop, gone again.
So, more fighting, more shit that's going on.
More supervillains.
Somebody breaches Captain America's command center, actually. Prometheus, who is a Justice League villain who, he downloads the skills of other heroes. And he's like, I've just uploaded Batman's fighting skills. That'll be more than enough to defeat you.
Oh, great.
To which
so
Steve just replies.
So he stole Taskmaster's stick.
He kind of did, yeah. So, more fighting, more supervillains, a lot of fun shit. Like, it's very epic, and I wish that we could, like, delve into more of these individual moments more, but there's just so much happening.
We would be here for 6 hours. This episode would be 6 hours long if we did that.
Exactly.
So I encourage everybody to read this comic.
Mm-hmm. We do get Electric Blue Superman briefly from the mid-90s, which is fun.
Cool. He looks awesome.
Yeah. Like, I'm kind of into that. And on and on and on and on and on it goes. Like, even the narration is saying, wow, this is going on for a while.
Punching and fighting and punching and fighting. Look at this hero. Look at that villain.
Mm-hmm. But then the Scarlet Witch is back, and she sees that, you know, Crona's whole plan is to basically make these universes merge together and fucking die and then learn his secrets from that. And she's not happy about that.
I mean, yeah. You can't do that. My kids are somewhere in there.
So basically what Wanda describes is she's trying to expand her chaos field in such a way that they can expand their own rosters.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so it's kind of working. And another one here that's a lot of fun is that Kyle and Iron Man design a weapon together out of a construct. And Kyle's like, wow, this design, Iron Man, the sheer power of it and how fast you came up with it, I'm jealous as hell. And Tony's like, you're jealous. Tell me where I can get one of those rings, friend.
Aww, look at them getting along. It's love seeing cute. The different universes, like, have the different heroes of different universes having moments together like that.
Oh, yeah. And then this is another moment that I just want to talk about for a minute because at this point, they're being attacked by the Atlanteans of the Marvel Universe, and Aquaman reaches out with his powers, and he's able to control their minds because they live in the ocean. So, like, Aquaman is...
Fuck yes!
This is incredible! And, like, Namor's like, I'm glad that I'm only half Atlantean.
Yes, seriously. Look at Aquaman being a badass.
Absolutely.
He's got a fucking army.
He's got the Atlanteans, and it's pretty delightful. And then more fighting.
Crona's sitting in his fucking stronghold with a bag of popcorn.
Mm-hmm. Oh, as Superman is able to, like, make it a little bit closer to the stronghold... he gets blasted by Radioactive Man from the Marvel Universe with kryptonite radiation.
Oh, fuck, because he can recreate that shit.
Mm-hmm. And he's also being blasted by, Solar, also from the Marvel Universe, and he's using Red Sun radiation on Superman. So, between the kryptonite and the red sunlight, he's not having a good time right now.
We are here just for this purpose!
But in order to get him out of this, Vision uses his own solar stores to blast Superman with energy to restore Superman's powers.
Oh, but what does that mean for Vision?
Bye, Vision is pretty much what that means.
Oh, no. The sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. Noble sacrifice.
You know what? Fuck my kids.
Shut up. So finally, Superman makes it to the final wall, Krona's last line of defense, and he's trying to break it down, while at the same time, Thor is being piled by a bunch of different villains, and Thor yells out, Superman! Do thou well with it! And tosses Mjolnir.
Oh, fuck, here we go!
Superman catches Mjolnir! Which he is able to wield.
Yes! He is worthy!
Absolutely he is! And so Superman uses Mjolnir and he friggin' breaks through Krona's stronghold here. He makes it in, and then a giant blast kind of knocks him down.
Oh, yeah.
So he was
as
in.
As it would.
Yeah, you know. And Krona comes out.
He made it.
In a different outfit. He's wearing a dumb hat now. And, so...
You fools! You didn't expect a costume change!
Yes, really. So he's like, fools. Poor, deluded fools. You thought me distracted. Inattentive to your attacks. You were wrong. I know all that has happened. All that came here. All that fought. All that fell. A mere fraction of my mind observed everything. And this is the last of you helpless against my might. You gave your all to get this far, but you're finished. Finished forever!
I would love if just all of a sudden, like, his head just snapped forward and there was just an arrow in the back of his brain. Just like, I did it!
Yay, Ollie!
Standing behind him.
Well, you're actually kind of close to it, because what happens
is...
It turns out that Barry and Clint were lying low the whole time. so that
hey!
An arrow flies past Krona and releases the artifacts with a TNT arrow. And it's also able to release his control over Eternity and Kismet, meaning that the universes are pulling apart again. And at that point, Barry vanishes, Wally replaces him, and everything...
Oh.
Everything is starting to go back to normal. Like, we're back to the roster that started this whole group.
And Eternity promises to call Kismet on Wednesday.
Yep. So, as this is all coming back to normal, we see that the Earths are now being pushed apart this time. But instead of Krona, it's the Spectre. Hal Jordan.
Oh! Hal died for a reason!
He's still continuing the fight. Even
if
now
Hal
that everything is back
died,
to normal.
This wouldn't be happening.
Exactly! And so, there they go. The Earths are splitting up, and Krona's stronghold is beginning to fall apart. And they say basically that they're able to fix the vision, so everything's gonna be fine
oh,
with
cool.
that whole thing.
I thought you were dead. Nope.
So, as the universe is reforming and rewriting itself, Galactus is also reforming out of the stronghold. So, you know,
oh, fuck.
They kind of gotta get out of here. So, we have a moment here where Superman goes to pick up the hammer and bring it back to Thor, but he can't lift it anymore. And Thor comes over to him and says,
okay.
There's an enchantment upon my hammer, laid by my father Odin. It is not easily lifted by others. Well, I held it before. My father is stern, Superman, but not stupid. A very few worthies have been allowed to overcome the spell in desperate hours. But know this. Perhaps it was but briefly, but it was in good hands.
My dad's kind of a dick that way.
Man, fuck that guy.
Thought you were cool? Nope.
So, they have to return to their own universes. And Wally is using his vibrational frequency. And Kyle says to Wally, I'll tell you, Wally, when we get back, if my power battery hasn't been reality restored to my apartment, someone's in big trouble!
Fuck! Yes! Oh, I'm so glad we got that back.
So while Wally is doing this, Thor is getting them back to their own universe by swinging Mjolnir. And we have a final salute between Superman and Captain America.
Aww.
And Superman says...
We used to hate each other. Now we would die for each other.
And Superman says, Captain, whether we fear we do too much or not enough... To which Cap replies, we keep trying. Glad to have met you. All of you.
Oh. Oh my god. That's
mutual
great.
Respect and appreciation.
I love it.
And they return to their own universes.
Let's never do this again.
And we have a final coda between Metron and the Grandmaster. And it turns out that his stolen power... has returned and left what's known as a cosmic egg.
Hey, don't do this cliffhanger shit.
So Metron says, one day perhaps it will hatch, birth a new universe, a new reality, and Krona will learn his long-sought truths by being a part of them.
And we will call that story When Universes Fuck.
Well, where do you think the egg came from?
Exactly! That is exactly what I'm thinking!
So, he turns around and says to the Grandmaster, ah, and how did you enjoy being dead, Endwegast? To which the Grandmaster replies, it was, an experience, though not one I am, anxious to repeat. I am glad the heroes won, restoring all, or, almost all.
Weirdly enough, you know which religion was right? The Mormons. Weird, right?
Oh, Jesus. I hope we don't have any devout Mormon fans.
If so, we love you.
So, Metron says that they've won a victory, Krona will have his answers, and I will have them too, for I will watch the egg carefully. Perhaps we should do this again someday. Yes, perhaps.
No, you shouldn't. Of course you dickbags would say we need to do this again.
And there we go. That's the end of the story.
That is the end of the fucking story. What a goddamn roller coaster. That was awesome. That was so fucking cool. Please, guys, anyone who's listening, please, like, we have gone through the whole story in both this and the last episode. I beg you to read this book. That, like, it's so good. It's so fucking fun.
Yeah, like, there are moments that I wasn't able to cover that I would have absolutely loved to delve into more detail. But, you know, there's only so much space in here, and there's only so many ways you can say, oh, and this person fights this person, and this person fights this person, like I said before. But, you know, it really is just on an epic grand scale, and you really need to experience all of it in order to really get it.
Imagine the final fight in Avengers Endgame, but the heroes keep changing as the fight goes on, and you'll get something pretty similar. Also in space.
Also in space, yeah. So yeah, I really do think that's a very fitting way to honor the legacy of George Perez, is to look at this story and delve into just the wonder of it all. The things that be accomplished when two feuding groups come together and really make something special out of it. And yes, this is a veiled way of saying, Marvel, DC, get your heads out of your asses and start doing better shit like this.
Exactly, exactly. Look what happens when we put rivalries aside and work together. We make great things.
Mm-hmm. And the reason I say this is because this is the final crossover that Marvel and DC have ever done. And this is 2003, so it's like, you could be doing so much more with characters, with concepts. You could just... I don't know.
Man, what a way to end it off. If this tragically would be the last crossover they ever do, what a fucking ender, though.
Oh, I know, definitely, totally. Like, it's a great way to send it off. And especially since, I did want to tell you this, they're canon. This story is canon to both universes.
Yes!
In fact...
Oh, that is the cherry on top of this.
Absolutely. Like, Marvel hasn't really done anything with it. They've just mentioned that these events happened in, like, the official handbook of the Marvel Universe and stuff like that. But they have acknowledged that it happens. DC, though, has done, a couple of storylines where the cosmic egg from the end of this actually features at points. So,
good.
Yeah. So this, it's canon, and that's delightful.
That is for you, George. That is all for you.
100%. All right. So let's do our wrap up. And with these last two issues, give me a wacky character. Give me a wacky situation.
Okay, for the wackiest character, I've got to give it to fucking Metron.
Really?
I hate, as I state ad nauseum, the fact that the universes are literally warping and twisting and falling apart, and all this motherfucker can do is sit in his goddamn floaty chair and go, interesting. I want to punch him every time he appears in front of me. I just want to walk up and, like, rip the circuitry out of his stupid chair and have him go, ah, and just fall out of the fucking sky.
Oh, man. You
useless
really,
asshole.
You really hate Metron. Jesus.
I hate characters that have the power to help shit and don't do anything about it. Not only don't do anything, but have this apathetic, like, huh, well, isn't that interesting? Just view to things. I can't stand those characters. And Metron is a glowing example of one of those characters.
Gotcha. And how about your situation?
Situation was at the very beginning. Like, I apologize if that beginning part wasn't necessarily as funny. I just did not have a lot to say because I was so like, what? With, like, the universe is warping and changing and twisting. Mm-hmm. My whole mindset was like, what the fuck is going on right now?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely that beginning part where reality kept warping and changing and we didn't know really why.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's some interesting... That's some interesting shit.
Yeah, you're telling me. What about for you, my friend?
Oof. Like, I was considering this answer when I was preparing for this episode, and really, it's hard to say, you know? Like, there are so many individual moments in here, and, like, just little things where I'm kind of like, oh, boy, I'd like to talk about this. You know, for wackiest character, I'm gonna give it to George Perez. Like, George Perez entirely, because he just was having such a fucking blast with this series. And you can tell 100%. Like, he had the chance to... Like I said, George Perez is at his best when he's drawing a million characters. And
it shows. Mm-hmm. It really shows.
Especially with, like, the shifting costumes and continuities and everything. Like, there was a moment where I saw the Grant Morrison-era Beast shift in there. And I'm just like, oh, nice!
It's your man! It's your boy!
It's my guy! Hey, buddy! But so, yeah, it was all kinds of stuff. Just the little touches and the little fun things like that. That really, I'm going to give it to George Perez. For the wackiest character in this book.
I adore that. That is an excellent choice. I support you wholeheartedly in that.
Oh, well, thank you. For wackiest situation, I'm going to give it to the luau. It's the luau.
Ah, the luau was great. I wanted so much more of the luau.
I would like, I would love an entire book just about the luau between the Avengers and the Justice League. Like, I wouldn't care if, like, nothing happened, if nobody showed up. I just want to see more of these characters interacting in, like, a fun circumstance, you know?
I totally agree. I honestly adore stories where super-powered individuals and heroes just take a day off. And mm-hmm. we just kind of see them, like, hanging out and doing fun shit. I love those stories. Like, mm-hmm. almost slice-of-life-esque kind of things with godlike figures. It's always so cute and so much fun. So I would have loved to have just seen a whole issue just dedicated to them having a luau party and hanging out.
I legitimately had to stop myself from reading every bit of dialogue on that page because I just love the little sides and everything so much. Like, there was a moment that I didn't talk about where Guy Gardner is trying to hit on Mantis. And, like, yes, and, like, Mantis takes over Guy Gardner's mind and is like, keep your filthy, disgusting thoughts away from me. And it's, like, just happening in the background. And I wish I could have talked more about that, but it wasn't important. It wasn't relevant. But
that is okay. Yet another reason why everyone needs to go out and read this comic.
Absolutely. Like, you gotta find those little moments throughout that are just so much fun to see. And, yeah, so that's why I'm saying the luau. All right. Cool.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen and everything in between, thank you so much for joining us on these two episodes of This Is Getting Graphic. These are fully dedicated to the late and always great George Perez. Thank you once again for your art on these worlds that we love so much and these characters we love so much, George.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We will miss you. We will miss you, but we will always, always love your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been This Is Getting Graphic. If you like what you heard, feel free to drop a rating or a comment on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or your podcatcher of choice. You can also shoot us an email if you'd like to get in touch with us at thisisgettinggraphic@gmail.com. Or if you're more of a social media fan, you can find us over on TikTok at thisisgettinggraphic.
You can also find us on other areas of social media. We're on Facebook at This Is Getting Graphic, and we're on Twitter at This Graphic Pod. And we'd also like to give a shout-out to the Super Guy theme, which is the opening and closing theme that we use for this podcast. It was composed by Mozart Mouse, and you can find their work on Pond 5, which is a great resource for royalty-free music for whatever project you're doing.
Another person we always like to give a shout out to, a true superhero in her own right, the lovely Miss Alex Hanbury, who does the great art that we show here on the podcast, including our fantastic banner. If you'd like to check out more of Alex's work, feel free to look her up on Twitter. She is under Kona Okami, spelled K-O-N-A-O-O-K-A-M-I.
All right, and with that, I do believe that we're going to wrap up today. Thank you for sticking around with us for these two extra long episodes, and we hope that it properly honors the memory of George Perez. We really do.
We absolutely do. Now, if you'll excuse me, I need to go print out every page of these comics to make into posters.
There you go. Can't say I won't
There's
be doing
so
the same.
There's so many good shots!
There really are! They're all so beautiful! All right, everybody, we'll catch you next time, and until then, stay super.
And I thank you for letting this little boy from 5 years old get to live his dream and to share it with so many people, and knowing that there are going to be a lot of 5-year-olds, 50-year-olds, 100-year-olds, who are going to look at my work and said, he made a difference. And thank you for that.